So the first session we talked about Elimelech, and the second reading is Abimelech. I don't know what the third is going to be, but we'll wait and see. But it's amazing. It's everyone that claims kingship.
Yep.
But I want the saints to understand, when there is a man not according to God's thoughts reigning, how does he qualify that person? So here comes Gideon. Let's take it that, okay, I'm not going to rule over you. Wonderful. So he had a son, Abimelech, because the son always thought, oh, Abimelech, my father is the king, so I should be in the good of it. He gets rid of all his brethren, you know. The next thing is, when we start seeking our own rights to rule, the brethren become, you don't lay down your life, you take their life away. Brethren, in a local testimony, it's not a matter of competition, it's complementation. We complement one another. And what happens when someone is seeking their own rights and to rule over the people? You know what? Let me get rid of this brother. He's always in my way. Let me stir up the brother. This is real practically, brother, because we think this way. But what happened when Abimelech goes and he convinces his mother's tribe and everything that I am the man for you? You know what it took? It took a man by the name of Jotham to give a parable of what happened regarding that rain. And he says, of course, about the fig tree and about the vine and about the third one?
Olive tree.
The olive. All speak of Israel, but that's not our subject. But then the fourth one is the thorn. And what does the thorn speak of? Sin. It's the result of sin. It's the curse. And this is the lesson that we have to take hold of. Is anyone that is not according to the mind of God that will dare to reign and rule over the people of God? God looks at it as a result of sin. This is sin ruling over you. Mm-hmm. It's a curse. And you know why it is? Cursed everyone that depends on a man. That's what the scripture says. It is a curse. And that's how we have to look at things. It is not something pleasant. It is not something we should seek after. And brethren, we don't have to look at the people during the time of Gideon. Let's ask ourselves in a very practical way. How many people we love and admire, we put them on a pedestal? How many people we love and admire? Mm-hmm. We place them on a pedestal and we leave them there. And then you'll find out the Lord comes later on. He blows on it. And these are the people that you put on a pedestal will cause the havoc amongst the people of God. May the Lord help us. That the desire will always be that my God is the king. Mm-hmm. He is the rightful king.
Question we could really ask is, was it such a bad thing to ask for a king? Really, when we think about it, you're under the Midianites, they're killing us, we're really suffering. Is this really such a bad thing to ask for a king? Is it such a bad thing, and if we wanted to ask, the Lord could bring a brother who will be a minister in the local testimony where he can expound the word of God, and so is that really a bad thing? But if it has selfishness behind it, then it becomes a bad thing. When I ask, I believe that it must be in agreement with what God has in mind. If we look at, if we look at Saul, for instance, when the people came and it says, give us a king like the nation, Samuel said, look, if this one is chosen, he will do this, he will do this, he will do this. However, what was in God's mind is that there should be a king. It's not that there should not be a king. But he had his own man in mind to be king. He had David in mind. But because of my selfishness, I want and I don't know the mind of God. I want what would please me. Saul is head and shoulder above everybody. He looks good, you know. Gideon, he defeated the Midianites. However, still doesn't meet the mind of God. Saul, he's going to put your children through this, and this will happen, and so forth. But David is the man. So it's not that God doesn't have the idea that there should be a king. There has to be a leader. There has to be someone who represents him in the scene. However, it is not Saul. It is David. And so often, you know, we look at it and we don't realize that God would have someone here to be our leader. Presently, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But we want everything else but what God would set forth.
But they did not ask for a king when the Midianites were ruling over them. They asked for a king after he delivered them from the hand of the Midianites. It would have been one thing to say, okay, now we need somebody to lead. As a matter of fact, they wanted to kill Gideon when he destroyed the Baal. They said, well, what are you doing here? Now all of a sudden he... So it's really a matter of convenience. What is working? It is not really a matter of conviction, like, as you said. What is the mind of God concerning a king? It's a matter of convenience. Well, we don't want to have oppression anymore. You know what? Let me bring it very practical about, I don't want to do anything in the meeting. Let me hire somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Let me pay him. Mm-hmm. And when things go wrong, I'll blame him. I'll fire him. This is just what happened. Mm-hmm. There is a lack of a matter of an exercise in regard to every matter. Sure, gifts are different and the Lord had given ability, but it's a matter to go to cry to the Lord for deliverance. And the Lord will do the deliverance the way He wanted to do the deliverance. That's one thing. The other thing is to have a system that just automatically is working. If I'm sleeping, if I'm awake, it's just the system is working. And that's what they were looking. They were looking for a system instead of a spiritual exercise. And it was the Lord who delivered them. Because I think you mentioned that early, John, that it was the Lord who, and they lost sight of that. Well, now we just, it was a king of the, or a couple of kings of the Midianite, and we have one guy. So it's one guy against these guys, and that's the end of it. They forgot the fact that it was God who delivered them. They forgot the fact it was God who stirred up the enemies against them when they did evil in the sight of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They lost the whole root of the problem completely, and they were looking for the convenient aspect of it.
And yet the question remains is that although God has no issue with kingship, as we said in the morning study, there was Melchizedek, the King Salem, there was Moses. So I always wonder, why didn't he raise kings instead of judges? Although some judges, they delivered them from the hand of certain enemy for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
You would think, well, David ruled over the house of Judah for 40 years. So my question was always, why didn't the Lord raise kings instead of judges? Maybe someone can help us.
In this period.
In this period, yes.
I'm wondering if doesn't the word that's used there in Judges actually is it not the word saviors?
Right.
The Lord raised up saviors. I'm wondering if it wasn't always a picture to them, always continually reminding the people that there was a savior coming, and we read about him in Luke. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Messiah Jehovah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the emphasis in Judges is on the need for a Savior. And when we get to the Samuel, it seems to bring in the element of the king, which we get in David. That's just a thought.
Well, that's in the outline. No, judges were not kings.
Right.
They were largely deliverers from Israel's enemy. They were chiefly military leaders with limited jurisdiction.